hero to some, an annoyance to others. But when Samantha Bee gets you in her sights, watch out, because she will not hesitate to take the boots to you on her show, Full Frontal. For 5 years on TBS and another 12 on Comedy Central's Daily Show, she has been comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable, even when she had to do it from her own backyard during the pandemic. But now she is taking her show on the road, way down the road, all the way to Rwanda, of all places, and she's here to tell us all about it. Samantha Bee, welcome. It's good to see you.
It's really good to see you. Thank you for having me. I'm so delighted.
Well, I'm a huge fan, let's just say that. Even though you've taken the boots to me on your show, which I giggled all the way through, I'll have to tell you. I did not equate Rwanda with comedy. Mm-hmm. And when I heard you were going to Rwanda, I thought, okay, you need to explain this one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's not the number one destination that you think of when you think of a comedy show, but definitely we felt like, because, you know, we've all been in this pandemic. And so as we were approaching the end, and we were thinking, like, how can we expand the visual world of the show? Like, everybody's seen my backyard where we filmed for about 8 months and we have our studio space, and that's all great. But we really had a desire to get out there and, like, film in the world. And so we literally started looking at lists of places that had the doors open to American travelers. Like, they could actually...
That was a short list.
Pretty short list. Rwanda was on the list, as were many other countries. And then we just sort of started bashing around ideas for where we could go, where there was, you know, like a kind of a robust... there was robust storytelling, and we settled on Rwanda. It was... we got our visas. It all takes so many months to plan all this stuff. And we kind of like zoned in on two stories that we thought we could credibly tell that would be interesting and super, super visual. Like, everybody wants to go on a journey right now. Everybody wants to get out of their world, including us. And so we went on a safari to talk about conservation efforts in the country. And then we went to also a refugee center, because they do such a great job of accepting refugees there. And so we wanted to talk about that as well.
So if I were interviewing Anderson Cooper, I'd say, of course, all that makes perfect sense. But then I'm interviewing Samantha Bee, who's a comedian. And I'm sure that TBS is like, Sam, you want to go where? And we're going to pay for this. And you better be funny. How do you guys write this stuff? Like, how do you come up with something funny when you're doing issues on, like, rape and gun control and Rwanda?
Well, you know, you hone in to the story that you want to tell, and then you dig into the story, and then you broaden out to the comedy. You know what I mean? First, you get the story straight, and then you start adding jokes. It's a really super weird process.
Yeah, I often would say, there you are. Oh, look at that drone shot. That's nice.
I know. Isn't that pretty?
Look at your Rwanda vision. So I want to play a clip of this in a second, but not before I ask you. I have always dreamt of, like, literally spending my days in the writer's room of The Daily Show or Full Frontal, just because I imagine that you guys just have the best time. But then again, I realize it must be work. Can you tell me, like, what it really is like in there when you're doing this creating?
It's pretty quiet, actually. Like, it's not...
Like, really?
Actually, before I got a job, because I worked at The Daily Show, as you mentioned, for many, many years. And when I got the job there, in that kind of transition period between getting the job and actually showing up, I was like, I'm sure it's like the apartment from Big. It's Tom Hanks's apartment, where there's just, like, pinball machines and everybody's, like, shooting hoops, and there's, you know what I mean? Like a real bullpen. But actually, everybody is in their offices. It's really hard work. Everybody's got their computers. Everybody's working. And of course, it's an excellent team, like a super bonded. Everybody really gets along and is in a great groove together. Our head writers are just, like, so much fun to be around. But ultimately, we're all kind of nerds. So
it's amazing. I had envisioned the thing that you just described, the ball hoop and the restroom and the place where you get the Funyuns. You know, I had envisioned all that. So to think of you guys as an insurance office just doesn't compute at all.
I know.
It's nuts. You certainly could work from home and still do the show. Totally. Okay, let me run a clip. This is like a compilation clip from the upcoming Rwanda show. I'm going to ask you about it in a minute. Take a look.
Okay.
Giraffes. Zebras. Late night talk show hosts.
Welcome to Samantha Bee's Rwanda Vision.
On today's episode of Full Frontal, my vaccinated butt is in Rwanda. And man, is it nice to be outside of America. From Akagera National Park.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
To the bustling city of Kigali.
I don't know what you said, but I can tell that you think Americans are crazy.
To the Gashora Refugee
So there's the little nugget. If anybody who's watching right now hasn't seen Full Frontal, that's how you make it funny. It's with you and the way you react and the way your sensibilities kick in, because it's really what the rest of us are thinking, and we couldn't possibly say it out loud. So with regard to that whole Americans are crazy, yeah. Are people overseas now thinking we're crazier than ever because of what we've been seeing happen? I mean, there was January 6th. There was the how do you treat the pandemic? Should you wear a mask or, oh, don't because it's political? What are they saying over there?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know that in Rwanda they're paying that much attention, strangely, to what we're doing over here. But I will say that they are. But they are actually very dedicated to mask wearing. Vaccines were distributed. I mean, not, I think maybe a third of the population has their vaccines now, but they, the way that they have, because they just frankly ran out, I think that in America, we actually probably owe them some vaccines. But anyway, that's a different story for a different time. But like they distribute them very equitably. And in the meantime, people are really so dutiful about wearing their masks. They socially distance still. Like they're so excited to get vaccinated. It's so funny to be in a place where when you're talking to people and they couldn't imagine not getting the vaccine. They couldn't imagine like having the choice not to get the vaccine, or why anyone would make that decision for themselves. It's actually good to get outside the country a little while every now and then and go, all right, the fact that we have so many people who abstain from a thing that could literally save their life is a very Western thing.
It's a very bizarre thing. You know, there's a lot of countries who are shocked that this has even become a political conversation. Isn't it a life-saving thing? And as it turns out, Sam, I don't know if you've been back, you know, recently enough to know that a lot of most, if not all, the recent deaths that were recorded, I think, in the last week or so have been unvaccinated people, which is, you know, it's a tragedy and it should be a beacon. Beep, 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 you know. Hey, when we come back after the break, I do want to ask you a little bit about the change in administration. You know, from Trump to Biden, whether you love him or hate him, either one of those guys, there was a profound effect on comedy. And I want to know what the effect was on you. That's next with Samantha Bee. With the incredibly talented Samantha Bee from Full Frontal, just renewed for your sixth season at the beginning of the year, which in television is eons. I mean, to have that many seasons in a row is a big old deal. I attribute it to your Canadian roots. Before air, Samantha and I discovered that we went to rival universities. But that's okay. I still haven't her on. It's all good. She'll keep up. Well, we hope she'll keep up, right? Yeah. Okay, there's the dig. There's the dig of the show. Okay, so let's go back to the Trump thing. Trump is out. Biden's in. Everybody calls him boring. Everyone says, oh, no, the news will fall away and the comedians will atrophy. What did you think?
I couldn't have been happier. Oh my God. I couldn't.
Personally or professionally?
Personally and professionally, because let me tell you something. Like, Trump was funny when he was running for president, but the moment he became president, he became like precipitously less funny as time passed. And actually just like having, definitely it's a new reality. It's acclimatizing to a different kind of altitude. So maybe it took a minute or two to adjust. Maybe I would say once he got kicked off of social media, it took about 2 days for us to acclimatize to the new reality. And then there was so much gratitude personally. And that is reflected in our professional worlds. We're having so much fun doing the show now. It feels like we can do more subject matter. We're not always tied so closely to the news cycle. It's a gift, I think.
But
to shows
is
like
there
mine.
Another? Is there another set of confines in the theory of cancel culture, because we've interviewed a lot of comedians who are walking on eggshells, and they have different answers. I mean, Jay Leno says, change with the times, rewrite your material. Others say, are you kidding me? Comedy is the last bastion of commentary, and it should be free speech, and you should be able to poke fun at things that are touchy. But that's a really fine line to walk. Do you worry about it?
I don't really worry about it. I think we're guided by pretty solid voices. Like, we're a really great team of people. I think we have our finger on the pulse of what the world looks like now. We're always, you know, we stay current. We try to reflect our values in a way that is very, very organic. And we like to be on the right side of history. And so it's not, you know, it doesn't take a lot of effort for us to be right exactly where I think we need to be. And for sure, people take issue with our content all the time. That's just like, that's part of it.
Oh, I remember. Oh, man. Oh, I mean, the mob, Democrat or Republican alike, will come for you. They've come for me. They've come for anybody who's on TV or on the social medias.
Sure.
And I remember the Ivanka thing where you used the C word and you really, you know, had a tough go. But you weathered it. Is there a secret to weathering the moments where all of a sudden they blow up and get, you know, viral and crazy?
I don't think that there's a secret to it. I think it definitely is like, and I'm sure that you know this, and I'm sure that you have felt this, it is like walking across flaming hot coals. You know, you are definitely, it is definitely transforms you on the other side. Hopefully, the result is that you walk out stronger and more solid in the, you know, solid in yourself. That's how I emerged from it. And also, I really don't engage with trolls. I feel like I'm very comfortable with my view. I'm very comfortable with the positions that the show takes. And so if people can criticize it, but I don't actually pay that much attention to it. I feel like if our moral compass stays directly where it needs to be, I think we're okay. For now. I don't know.
I'm glad you weathered that, because I'm always frustrated when people, you know, disappear, especially after apologizing, because I thought that's really what we're all about as humans, you know, recognize, okay, I'm sorry, I maybe went too far. I'm with you. I'm listening. And sadly, in this day and age, we're seeing people who apologize and it's not enough. And the mob is just like, there's just bloodlust, it seems, you know?
It's very tempting to fully retreat. There's no question that you definitely feel like hiding in a cave, for the remainder of time. But hopefully, I mean, and it also helps that our network is very supportive of the show and really, truly loves the show. And so that is really a big, that's everything, really.
Okay, so speaking of how important networks are and their big stars, Conan! Last show, gone, off the air. I wanted to get your thoughts.
I know. Well, you know, like Conan is the best. He's done so much stuff for the show. And he's just, I mean, apart from show business and apart from his television show, which I think he's creating a new show at HBO Max. So if you love Conan, you won't probably be without him for too long, which is great. But apart from all of that, I always found conversations with him to be so calming. Because, you know, when you have a show and it has your name on it, I'm on your show right now. There's a level of responsibility and it can be overwhelming. And the whole thing can, you know, you feel like you're, not that you're working 24/7, but you're on alert 24/7 for all the things that can happen, and they happen behind the scenes, and you're always kind of like paddling beneath the surface a little bit. And so I would have these great conversations with him at network parties or little events or anytime I could kind of catch his ear. And he always calmed me down so much. He just has been in this business forever. And of course, you know, his voice at The Simpsons revolutionized that show for me. So he has been just like such a power player in comedy. I can't.
My 14 and 15 year old kids are like, oh yeah, we're big fans of Conan. I'm like, I've never seen you watch television. So they're really big fans and they're the next generation. Right. So it's pretty surprising.
Totally.
Okay. Speaking of the things when you're pedaling beneath the surface, they're like, you got to go to break. When we come back after the break, I want to play this little game with you. It's a bit of a Rorschach test, but it's called First Impressions. So it's going to be fun. You're going to love it.
Love
Don't
it.
Worry. You won't end up in the cancel
I'm
culture.
Not worried. Okay.
back with Samantha Bee in a couple minutes. We're full frontal with Samantha Bee. At least she's usually full frontal. We're just temporarily full frontal. Okay, so we're going to do something called first impressions. And we're going to show you a photo. And it's a little like a Rorschach test. You kind of have to just tell me the first thing that comes to mind when we show you the photo. Are you ready? It's going to be really fun. At least I think so.
All right.
So we'll start. So here it is, our first impression. And I was expecting like some giant graphic, but there's your first impression. What comes to your mind?
I feel calm. I feel like a calm wash over me. I feel
calm.
I do. I feel a sense of You know, I've had the opportunity to meet Vice President Kamala Harris a few times, and we had such good conversations, and so I feel a sense of calm, I'll be honest.
Okay. Here's the next one. We'll see if you get that same feeling or different. Ready and take.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I feel a little bit, it takes me back a little bit to the heart of the pandemic. You know, when I was turning to his briefings and I was turning to his face all the time out of desperation, wanting information. So I feel... Yep.
I thought you were gonna blow out. Get your vaccine, dang it! You know, but I see what you're saying. Oh. It takes you back in time, as opposed to
takes me a little bit back in time. But you know what? Get your vaccine, dang it! Get it. You know what? Exactly right. Please get it. Please get it.
Okay. Okay. This next one, ready and take.
Oh my God! Why am I being persecuted? This is triggering for me.
It's triggering for you. I thought you were going to say Cancun Cruise.
Oh, you know what? I feel like you need to join Full Frontal. I feel like we need to switch. Switch shows. You get so
I'm telling you, I want to be in that writer's room, but I don't want to be in the insurance office. I want to be in the writer's room. Okay, here's the next one. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Take a look. Here it comes.
Oh, yes. Okay. This is complicated. I have complicated feelings right now. I'm immediately called to mind this brutal divorce we're all going to be witnessing the fallout from. But my attention is drawn to the topic of malaria and how much work Bill and Melinda Gates have done in the world of trying to eradicate malaria from the rest of the world.
And polio, right?
And polio, yeah. So, yeah. Okay, all right.
Okay, next
Sorry.
One, ready?
So that's a complicated one. These. Okay.
Totally. No, you're doing great. I think these are very profound answers. You're thinking them through.
I'm having a very emotional reaction to all these photos. I'm not like immediately going to the snappiest thing. I'm just like letting it wash over me like a real... Rorschach test. Okay.
Like a real Rorschach test. Okay, this next one, we'll see how you do on this one. Ready?
Okay.
And take.
Oh, it's Mittens Romney. There he is.
Mittens.
Oh, Mittens. Good old Mittens. Oh, boy.
Anything come to mind particularly?
Well, you know, I do feel like he was so lost during the Trump administration. So lost. He probably... could have done more, but I appreciate the stances that he did take. So
talk about being complicated, right?
Very.
Okay. Very. This next one isn't necessarily funny, but it is thinky. Okay. So take a look at this next shot.
Okay. Oh, we did Brittany wrong. We all did Brittany wrong. Mm. We really did. We really
That's a good point.
Owe her. We owe her. We owe her kindness and space, and we owe her. She took a lot of hits in popular culture
as a kid, right? As a 17-year-old, I think people forget she wasn't just your widget. She was a 17-year-old girl.
She was a girl.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so this next one, I think you're going to have some fun with, just because there's so much news revolving around this feller. Okay, ready and. Matt Gaetz, everybody.
Oh, my God. How can he possibly still be speaking out loud? If I was as at risk as Matt Gaetz is of criminal charge, so much is going to rain down on that man's head. I would be so quiet. I would retreat from the spotlight and I would go and deal with my life in a private fashion.
I'm not even political about him, but I do shows on crime and justice. And all I keep thinking is, where is your lawyer to tell you to stop talking? Because there is too much going on TV. There's a lot of trepidation that should be valued here.
I guess he should, you know, from my point of view, because I do react to him politically as well. I guess I'm like, keep talking, but also, what are you thinking? You are getting some deeply bad advice, or you're just so... so egotistical that you refuse to take others' advice. So,
or political. One of the two.
Go with God, I guess.
Hey, I have seconds left, but I just want to ask you this one social media question because I love it. We had Chris Jericho on the show. He's from Winnipeg. Okay. You're from Toronto. And this, Jay Skinner asks, do you miss Canada?
I miss it. I really do miss it. Like, my life is in the States. You know, my children were born here. Our life is here. But my entire family is across a closed border in Canada. And I got to tell you, when that border opens, I will be like a rocket ship across it because I miss my family so much.
I know. Yes. I haven't seen my family in 2 years because of it. And the border is opening. It's going to get a lot better July 5th. So hopefully I said this to Chris Jericho. Hopefully you and I can like hoist a Labatt's Blue or something north of the 49th parallel. Maybe this summer.
It's my dream. It is my dream. Yeah.
Well, listen, good luck. I'm so thrilled to have this time to talk to you. I had no idea we were even neighbors. That's even crazy. Full Frontal with Samantha Bee airs Wednesdays at 10:30 Eastern on TBS. Thanks, Samantha.
Thank you so much.